Now, several years ago, actually probably almost 15 years ago, these little kiosks, these little like iPads started showing up on your table at Chili's. And it turns out it was a local company that came up with this whole idea. The company is Ziosk, Z-I-O-S-K, and they've grown and they've got a lot more people and they serve a lot of different purposes now. And, of course, that whole market has changed. The co-founder of the company is Raymond Howard. He joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, David. Great to be here.
You know, this, I mean, since that time, since this first began, now, I mean, you know, paying with Apple Pay or something like that, it's just sort of become ubiquitous. At the time, I didn't really, and I know Jack Baum, your co-founder, and he was trying to explain to me the concept behind this. I said, I don't think I understand why this is necessary, but I do now. Talk about the role of Ziosk as you see it.
Yeah, it's funny. Even if you go back toward the inception of the company, it was all about just, you know, solving a pain point of the guest and the consumer. And if you remember, there are other industries, grocery and retail, going through some self-service, you know, Home Depot, et cetera. That had not made its way into restaurants at all. But it's one of the areas where people just wait and wait to get out of a restaurant. And so it really came down to control and convenience and really creating a better experience for the guest and giving them the ability to pay and leave. You know, funny enough, the mobile pay with Google Pay and Apple Pay didn't even exist at that time, right, David, to your point. And so that has become an even more important reason, because the last thing people want to do is hand someone your phone. They used to hand someone their credit card, right, to walk around the corner, and they still do in many locations. But today, you can have my credit card, you're not getting my phone. And so, you know, it's all the more important today to have an ability for guests to be able to just tap their phones when they need to do that, in addition to continue to using credit cards to pay and leave when they go.
You know, this industry, it seems like it was populated for a long time by sort of technology Luddites. We'd go to Europe, and you never gave them a credit card. The guy, I mean, 20 years ago, the guy would show up with a little thing that looked like a TI calculator, and would, you know, zip your card through it or something like that. And those things never got here. Why are we so slow to adopt these?
You know, it's funny, even when we started the company, we were considering and trying to figure out that very same thing. When we started the company, credit card data couldn't even traverse the Wi-Fi environment. And so we had some issues around that. Credit card data wasn't really secure when we started the company. And Americans, believe it or not, because they have multiple cards in their pockets, oftentimes don't use PIN codes for their credit cards. That is standard practice in Europe and Canada and other places in the world. So in order to execute on entering a PIN, guess what? You have to have technology available at the table, because, again, you're not giving a PIN code to your server. And so the server had to, or the guest had to be able to do that on the fly. Wasn't the case in the States. In fact, still really isn't the case in the States relative to PIN codes. And so you're right in that restaurant technology has trailed a lot of the other industries. I think today it's really accelerating a lot, and there's a lot that's bringing that to bear. Obviously, digital and cloud technologies, a lot of the guest data technologies, and just the ability to capture, you know, so much data and insights, and then of course AI, all those things are really changing the landscape of what you can do even in restaurants and retail. Obviously, e-com has brought a lot of that about and just opened our eyes into the world of commerce. And so, you know, what's become interesting, I would say, over the last several years in particular since COVID for us, is this notion around improving the experience and improving the economics inside of restaurants today, and even since then. And what they've come to realize is that, you know, even more than now, when you have a value-seeking customer, value isn't just about food price and portion size anymore. Now the consumer is becoming much more judicious about where they're spending their money, but they're also looking to who's providing the best experience.
But the restaurants must be, you know, watching the bottom line closer than ever before, and labor has become a major cost, but it's also been scarce, finding people to work. I would guess that you could get, that a waiter can do the work of more waiters if you have a system like this.
Yeah, no doubt. We we like to think of it as more of the transactional moments in an experience where the guest, generally speaking, would prefer to sign up and sign into loyalty, provide guest satisfaction feedback, pay and leave when they're ready to leave, rather than waiting on server. Any of those things that are more transactional, we tend to think of as the tablet and the technology being able to augment what the servers are doing. The reality is the goal is to try to figure out how do we allow the servers to do better at what they do, which is build the relationship and add more humanity to the experience. We're not trying to disintermediate guests from the server. Servers will always be important, I think, to the dining experience. But if you can give them tools to help make them more efficient, and in this day and age, allow them to take more tables, the guest ends up being happier. More importantly, the server ends up making more money. And if the server makes more money, they're generally a better employee that sticks around longer.
So,
and then it ends. Yep.
No, I was going to say, you have competition, and I'm not aware that you had any when this company first started out. But Toast has become fairly ubiquitous, and I see them in different arenas. But they seem like a slightly different company, and it seems like they're going after the entire restaurant and the cash register and everything else. And you haven't done that, have you?
No, we have not. We've remained, and what you're referring to Toast is really the point of sale. And so they've done a great
point
job.
Point of sale, that's it.
Yeah, they're the point of sale and the, to your terminology, the cash register or the electronic system that's maintaining orders and payments and all that stuff, right? We connect into those platforms, and so we are an extension of them that's really adding more of a guest-facing context so that it becomes more guest engagement, guest data platform, if you will, that is really trying to pull the consumers in and give them things that are self-serve in some respects or available to them on demand. Yeah, what is interesting about all of the point of sale systems is they are still employee facing or employee led technologies. And so you're still, in many cases, even with handhelds, waiting on servers to come to the table. And we just have a very different context around just putting everything at the fingertips of the guests when they want it so that they can engage and experience the brand when how they want to experience it. But we plug into all of the point of sale systems. And so Toast would be a partner of ours. Obviously we have.
So this is an add-on to some of the.
It's an add-on.
So one of the things that you used to do, and I guess you still do, and I noticed you offered games. So that if somebody wanted to kill some time where they were waiting for their order or, nurse a drink, that you offered games. And so that's a source of revenue, I would guess, not only for the restaurant, but also for you.
It is, yes. It's a revenue sharing opportunity between us and the restaurant brands. And so, we see it as another source of engagement, a source of fun. It's no secret that in many casual dine and quick service restaurants, guess who makes the decision of whether you go out to eat? I have four kids. My kids usually get to decide, right? And so a lot of times it comes down to that, and kids do drive and families do drive a lot of the spend in this economy. But we also see it as a way to drive engagement. You don't see many folks sitting at the table, despite how many people have cell phones. It's often thought as being pretty rude if you have three people sitting there staring at their cell phone. And so you'll see a lot of kids even today stack their cell phones up in the middle of the table to force interaction or force conversation. And some of that could very well be with trivia that's on the device.
Just
helping to facilitate conversation, right? And so, again, we just see it as an opportunity to drive and build community and experience as opposed to something that's trying to disintermediate that.
So where are you now? Last I saw, you had, probably 5,000 restaurants and probably a billion diners in a year?
That's right. Yeah, we've continued to grow, double digit percentages year over year for the last several years. So I think we're approaching 6,500 sites probably at this point. We'll probably hit 1.1, 1.2 billion consumers a year.
Wow.
Sitting in front of this platform for what amounts to 45 or 50 minutes. So a lot of, I hate to say it, a lot of screen time. We have a lot of opportunities to engage consumers on, drinks, appetizers, desserts, and really driving purchase intent and behavior.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about, because, again, watching this evolve, I would guess when you started out, not all restaurants had Wi-Fi in them. And so that had to become a consideration, too.
Funny you mentioned that. Some of the early adopters of our technology had Wi-Fi, but it was oftentimes something only for the guest. And they probably went down to Best Buy or someone, just grabbed an access point and threw it up on the ceiling, right? Not sufficient for secure payment technologies and things that we're doing. We managed Wi-Fi as a company for many of our customers in the early days. We've since gotten out of that business because most brands like to manage their own now because it has so many different uses. But you're right. When you're a little bleeding edge and you're starting out with some of these types of technologies and offerings, oftentimes you have to bring the whole solution.
Well, you were having to design the hardware too. I mean, it was not something you could just layer on. It wasn't just software either. You were doing hardware too, as I remember.
That's right. Yeah. So we still do have our own hardware, and we tend to think in the world of AI, it kind of ends up being an advantage for us because we've got our own compute power and we're at the table and we can use that those devices to make decisions in the moment to start adjusting things that we might do to engage consumers and drive behavior that you wouldn't have otherwise done years ago, but now you can make some of those decisions on the fly, just based on the context of what's going on in the restaurant or who's specifically sitting at a table. All of those things now start to evolve to become much more personalized.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating evolution for your business. We've followed it all along from a handful of MBA students of Jack Baum and into this company that's now got touches over 1 billion people a year. Good work, and it's a great story. And now people could look at that gizmo on the table and with renewed respect. Raymond Howard is co-founder of Ziosk. Good to spend some time with you. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thanks. Very, very much appreciate the time.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.